as I wait, heart of God.
Hello and welcome to the Bridge Podcast, where we talk about how to bridge what we learned on Sunday with our everyday lives. This week, Pastor Jonathan continued his series, that is, he concluded his series on Saturate. We had a special kind of fellowship discussion time in connection with that series. You can find both his sermon and the following discussion questions on newlifepacifica.com. So this is the Sunday. We've wrapped up the series called Saturate by Jeff Vanderselt, an eight-week series. And this last Sunday was week eight. How do you feel about it, Jonathan?
Well, it's always a shock when you come to the end of a series. There's always a sort of, okay, what difference did it make?
Right.
I think this is particularly challenging this time because we've had to finish the series in a completely new way of doing church. And it's very difficult to gauge the impact that something has had on people in this way. But you know, I for one am convinced that this experience we're going through right now is challenging the church to look at things differently. And I think in many ways that's what Jeff Vanderselt has been challenging us to do, to look differently at the things that we already do in the light of the identity that being children of God, etc., actually gives us, to say, okay, it isn't enough to just say, well, I'm a child of God, but recognizing that should have implications to the way we do everything we do. And I think that's asking us to look at our lives differently. And we've then got another layer of difference in as much as we're currently sheltering in place. So we're not interacting with everybody else in the same way. Now, I think that may be very significant, but because I think that families are, in a sense, my gut feeling as I listen to people and listen to things, families, in a sense, are discovering themselves in a new way.
Yeah, it's opening up new opportunities for intimacy, at least within your own household, but then seeking for connections outside of it as well, with the kind of intentionality that maybe wasn't there before. At least one bit of fruit that kind of came out of this experience with my own Tuesday growth group is that, man, our little WhatsApp texting group is just blowing up, man. We're getting messages up. Everyone's sharing, this is what I made for dinner tonight, and do you have any good recipes that I could try? Like, hey, Mei Lee, what do you do with fish? I want to try new fish recipes. It's a lot of fun to see everyone chatting and all the pictures of rainbows that were sent out this morning.
Yes, there was a lot of rainbow pictures this morning, wasn't there?
Yeah, totally beautiful. Well, should we get into the first of our four questions for this week? These are four discussion questions, which you can have with your growth group or with your family around the dinner table. This first question is simply called integration. In this last week of our Saturate series, it's an ideal time to put the pieces together. The following questions will guide you toward a plan to integrate your three gospel identities with your six everyday rhythms. Do you remember these identities and rhythms? Here's a hint. Our identity as family, servant, missionary, and our rhythms of eating, celebrating, recreating, listening, storytelling, and blessing. Briefly, as a group, define each aspect of our identity and each everyday rhythm briefly before moving on to the next questions, which will seek to bring them all together. It's kind of a setting the groundwork kind of question, isn't it?
Right. Yes, it helps us just sort of recap in our mind, which is what we did on Sunday. We recapped in our mind, okay, so which I started at the beginning, of course, and went through the fact that the foundation of understanding that if we want to saturate people with Jesus, we have to be saturated ourselves, and all the way through that process, which took us to these two fundamental things, that our identity in God and our the rhythms that we have,
yeah,
and how we use, how we behave as a, as we are identified within those rhythms.
Yeah, those last two big pieces with the identity and the rhythm, those really make sense to me with Vanderselt's whole vision. And I like how you just summarized really briefly how the first 2 weeks contribute to that vision of being saturated yourself before you can go in and saturate the world. And that makes sense, I suppose, of the first week, which had a focus on salvation, past, present, and future, have been saved, are being saved, will be saved. So I think I can understand saturation in light of that. And then the second week was then about like missional communities and being involved in a...
It was a sort of infrastructure, like, you know, we with the relationships that we have. I mean, yeah. I think that, you know, the salvation piece is that essentially that's the Jesus that we're saturated, the Jesus who died on the cross to save us.
That the work that he's doing in our hearts now.
The work he's doing in our hearts. Yeah. The work that he did in our hearts to save us, the work that he's doing in our hearts to help us to fight temptation, and the work that he will do in the future when we will when we'll see him in heaven, that that's what we're saturated with, because that's what we want to share with other people, and the context in which that grows in our lives and that happens in our lives, our life on life, which is those those really close relationships, life in community, and then life as a
Yeah, and that kind of threefold structure really ties into the identity as well, as far as our family and being part of a family community, and then of course our identity as missionaries. So yeah, it does connect the dots a little bit better in my mind. I love
well,
that.
It really pushes up against, I think. Because so much of what Vanderstelt writes is about, not about the sort of the church as a, the local church completely, but the groups that are living life on life with one another within that church and their activity. And so it really pushes into the culture of independence. And I, you know, that has something which I wrote about in a blog this week. The need that we have to recognize that, I mean, and nothing is this sheltering in place has really emphasized that, in as much as, you know, it doesn't matter if you shelter in place and I shelter in place and we meticulously observe the rules, if the rest of our community doesn't bother to do it.
Yeah.
That we are dependent upon one another in so many different ways. And I think that what Vanderstelt tells us in this book actually underlines that for us.
Well, our final three questions all follow a similar pattern. So they're, each of them have the title Family Plus, Servant Plus, and Missionary Plus, kind of following our three key identities. And they ask us, the whole plus is about how do we add or combine our identity plus our rhythms, bringing together what does it mean to be, to have my identity as a member of the family of God and combine that with my daily rhythm of eating or my daily rhythm of celebrating or listening or storytelling. What are ways in which we can bring those together in a gospel infusion? So that's the kind of the scaffolding for the next three questions. They're all going to look pretty similar, but let me read the next one. Family Plus. How does your identity as a child of God and a member of the family of God intersect your everyday rhythms of eating, celebrating, recreating, listening, storytelling, and blessing? Again, the purpose is to infuse our gospel identity into the everyday stuff of life. For example, how do family and eating combine? Perhaps a commitment to a weekly shared meal with your growth group or an invitation to someone in your mission field to your dinner table? What about family and storytelling, family and resting? I'm just giving some ideas for our discussion groups to you know, stir up some ideas.
Right. And it's so important that we that we look at it in terms of what we do,
yeah,
not finding something extra to do. I mean, the fact that if we behave as family when we, as you rightly say, when we eat together, we behave as a family. Now, families often, I mean, biological families often don't do that now, but, and they lose because of it. I know that. And interestingly enough, during this shelter in place, I think this is the first time for many years that Maggie and I have eaten with the two boys at the same table, probably two or three days on the in a row. I mean, I don't remember when we last do that. I mean, some part of it moved out, but you know, I don't know when we last did that. But then, if our groups are going to behave like family, then eating meals together has to come in there somewhere. I don't want to be prescriptive and say, you know, like, I mean, Van der Stelt's groups, they eat once a week, but I'm not saying that that's right for us, but I do think that the dynamic of relationship that comes out of eating together is something which really needs to be taken account of if we're really to call ourselves sort of microcosms of the biblical family.
Yeah, and you think about the combination of family and storytelling as well, and just how much of the family of Israel, their relationship to the law and their conception of themselves as a nation had to do with telling their story.
And they were told to over and over again, remember, I mean,
that's
the
right.
Story of the Passover. It's sort of they enact with the youngest person saying, why is all this happening?
And then I like that.
It's just the adults are obligated to tell them all the story. I mean, it's wonderful. And you think, you know, when you look at the combination of eating and storytelling, I mean, what better place to tell your stories, what happened today, than around the dinner table, to have the opportunity to recount what you've been doing, all of the impact that's made on your own life and on others. I mean, the dinner table is a great context for storytelling.
Mm. Right. Yeah. I think it's kind of a powerful way of reconceiving what a church service is, or what different elements within a church service are. Like what we're doing when we're singing together is we're telling our family story, or when we come, you know, together for the Lord's Supper, where again, we're eating is a part of that, but we're telling the history of how our family came together, the family of God, how we joined into God's family. Anyways, there are a lot of neat opportunities just to reconceptualize some of these things that are our regular rhythms. Next, our identity as a servant plus. As servants of the servant king, Jesus, our identity easily blends with the everyday stuff of eating, celebrating, recreating, listening, storytelling, and blessing. Perhaps you could bless a young family by serving as a babysitter so they can have a date night. Volunteering for their prayer team is a great way to serve people by listening to their story and bringing their needs before the Lord. What other combinations of your identity as a servant and your everyday rhythms can you think of?
Yeah, again, this is so important that you see, I think there are, sometimes we sort of think, oh, well, I've got to find some things to do as a servant. Hmm. Whereas what he's saying is, no, our life should be a life of service.
Right.
That how can we, when we, you know, okay, when we're eating, how can we serve somebody by making an extra portion and taking it to a lonely person? You know, how can we use our dinner table as servants of others? And, you know, and so many of these things are all wrapped up together. Because, you know, I just think of our family dinners on Wednesdays, or every other Wednesday, when people who would normally eat by themselves come around our table. there's loads of stories told, and we feel like we're able to serve people by being able to provide them with a meal. We can make them feel like family. All of those things, all of this stuff is integrated in that particular activity, which has become part of our normal rhythms.
Yeah. And I was just trying to think of some other examples as well. And you think about some people who are just really good event planners who just bring people together. They host game nights, or they are the ones to, you know, schedule a day in the city all together. I know Liz's brother, one of her brothers is like that. He brings people together by creating and fostering just moments of play, moments of just enjoyment and community. And that's a real way to combine, you know, this role of a servant, because, you know, event planning is not an easy thing. I don't excel at that at all, right? So you're serving people by creating these moments. And then, of course, you're bringing that together with recreation.
I remember that before Liz committed herself to marry you and be your wife and now mother to Pip, and she and Carissa, when they lived, if you're not familiar with the New Life story, then Carissa and Liz were part of our congregation before you met and fell in love with David. They were event doers between the two of them. You know, they would come up with things, and suddenly you'd discover that Carissa and Liz were putting on something, some walk somewhere or visit to this or something. They were that that was it was, as you rightly say, a great service to people, because, you know, everybody needs somebody who will take the initiative to do those things. And it was also a great way of showing love and engaging with people.
Yeah, I love that. Our last question looks at our final identity as a missionary. It is easiest to think of ideas for integrating our identity as missionary with our everyday rhythms, but for some, it is the hardest to do. You could, for example, regularly hang out and eat at a particular restaurant to build relationships with the employees there. Or, as an expression of your rhythm of rest, you could build these kind of intentional relationships while volunteering to coach a local youth sports team or joining a hobby club. What else can you think of, and what will you try? Ways to combine being a missionary with these everyday rhythms.
Well, you know, I think it really, you know, one of the things that we've talked about is listening. And a lot of it comes down to wherever you go, whether you're in a restaurant, a coffee shop, in the gym, or whatever. I mean, the gym is, of course, significant for me because I have that a number of people I've engaged with in the gym. But really, it's because I listened.
Yeah.
I listened to their stories and was able to engage with them. And I think that's really, you know, when our everyday rhythm of listening, we do that in so many different places. But when we do that is the time that these opportunities open up.
I think it's important to mention as well, you know, as kind of the point of all of these questions this week is about trying to be creative in our thinking with combining our identity with our rhythms.
Yes.
It's important to mention that that combinations of multiple rhythms will oftentimes collide. We've already alluded to this already, but your example of, you know, meeting and talking with people at the gym and hearing their story, doesn't that combine recreation, listening, and storytelling all together with, you know, a missionary identity? So that's three rhythms all in one. That's a perfectly normal expression of this service.
Yeah, I would I question the recreation, but you know, that's not because I don't particularly enjoy the activity at the gym. I know I have to do it, but I don't think.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, of course, that there are so many of these things which, if we understand them and they become combined, that's the way God makes them so effective.
Right. We shouldn't, you know, try to keep things rigidly separated. That's
no, I think we should do the opposite, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, well, any final thoughts for us as we kind of conclude our last podcast episode on this series, Saturate by Jeff Vanderstel?
No, I don't think so. Other than to say, look, I posed some questions on Sunday. Make sure you include those in your in your growth group discussions. And you know, I just want to let me just quote from the book itself to finish up with. It says here, Jeff Vanderstel, as he comes to the end of the book, he said, "I don't want this book to end. I want to finish writing it, but I don't want." It's in his conclusion. He says, "It's taken far too long for me to write this conclusion. I tried over and over again to write it, but it was never satisfied. I was stuck, and I didn't know why." And then he said, "Why I don't want this to end? There are chapters still to be written, and they're to be written by you." And right. I feel like that. I hope that the net result of this is not that we were simply dazzled by the cover, or interested and fascinated by what's happened there, but actually this becomes we are able, not too long from now, to write our own Saturate book about how we've had these experiences.
Yeah, yeah. This series really should just be opening up our eyes to the opportunities that are out there.
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay, well, next week is Palm Sunday and Easter follows quickly after that. So we're entering, we're beginning to enter a good, fun, important season for the church. And it's going to look a little bit different than it has in past years.
Definitely is going to look a bit different, and we're not quite sure how different it's going to look, but it's going to be different.
God will still be with us, and we will worship him. All right, well, I guess we will see you back next week.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.